Iman Rush Audio presents Spear of the Devil by Muhammad Sharif.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu subhanahu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu ta'ala fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا ثم أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companions one day, another companion came to him, a companion by the name of Ma'iz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He sat in front of the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulallah, zanaytu. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I've fornicated, I've committed zina. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned away from him. Because he realized what was going to happen to him, he turned away from him. And Ma'iz radiallahu anhu, he came in front of his face again and he said, Ya Rasulallah, zanaytu. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I fornicated, I've committed zina. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned again away from him. And he came in his face again. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, zanaytu. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I've committed zina. And he said it four times. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after he had said that so many times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Abika junoon. He said, Are you crazy? Are you mad? Are you insane? And he said, no. And he said, Abika suk, are you drunk? Have you drunk a drink in alcohol? And he commanded one of the other companions to smell his breath. And he was, no, he hadn't drunk in alcohol. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did you really enter her? And he kept pushing and pushing him. And he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, وَمَاذَا تُرِيدُ مِنْ قَوْلِكَ. He said, what do you want from this statement? And he said, أَن تُطَهِّرْنِي. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I want you to purify me for the sin that I've committed. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam فَأَمَرَ بِهِ فَرُجِمْ. That he then commanded, and Ma'iz radiallahu anhu was executed, stoned to death. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with many ni'am. And even in our own body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with these limbs and with these organs so that they may be a means by which a person can seek the thankfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, بَعْدَ أَنْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانَ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ. That this is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is He who created you and brought you up. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ. And it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave you and made for you السَّمْعَ, your hearing. وَالْأَبْصَارَ, and your eyes. وَالْأَفْئِدَ, and your hearts. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that how so less that you do thankfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with to find the huda and look for the guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of those kuffar that turn their backs on the deen and turn their backs on the guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ. Allah sealed their hearts and sealed their ears وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ. And on their eyes is a veil. A veil that blocks them from seeing the truth because of their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then on the day of judgment, all the haram things that a person may have done with his eyes, the person will come on the day of judgment and there will be no other witness except his eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will silence his slave and then his body parts will speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this horrific day when the own body parts will testify. حَتَّى إِذَا مَا جَاءُوهَا شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَأَفْئِدَتُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until the day when they come, شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ, that they testify against him, سَمْعُهُمْ, their own ears, the things, the haram things that they used to hear, the ears will say that on such and such a day that he heard this haram thing. And then the eyes will testify that on such and such a day he looked to this haram. And then his heart will testify against him. And these eyes that the person loves so much, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَبِيبَتَي, the two beloved things to him, that on the day of judgment, when someone doesn't protect that organ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't protect, his eyes, they come on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of the kuffar, حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ فَمَا تُغْنِ النُّذُرُ. After explaining in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, an exalted and such a lofty hikmah, this wisdom, فَمَا تُغْنِ النُّذُرُ. But these warnings will avail them in no way. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٌ خُشَّ عَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ يَخُرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ, leave them for a day when the da'i, when the caller will call them to something forbidden. إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٌ خُشَّ عَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ, that their eyes will be humbled and they'll come out of their graves like they were scattered moths, as if they were scattered moths. And the Prophet ﷺ said that on that day they will be resurrected naked. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, won't the people look at each other, O Messenger of Allah? And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Aisha, al-amru ashaddu min thalik. He said, O Aisha, the affair is much more severe than what you think. Is much more severe. And these eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us as an entrustment to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that we lower our gaze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He begins with the men, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And you'll see the khitab here, the announcement is for the believing people, the believing men. يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that they lower and avert their gaze. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and protect their private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ, this is pure for them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of the things that they do. And from this, you'll see that Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about a look that a person may accidentally look. He will see something, and a'udhu billah, it's from the maharim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that Allah made forbid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, asrif basarak. He said, avert your gaze and look away from that haram. And from this we see in the sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ittala'a fi bayti qawmin bighayri idhnihim faqad halla lahum an yafqa'u a'ayna. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in America this is called the peeping Tom, that whoever looks to or looks into the home of someone else, بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِهِمْ, that looks into their house without permission. Like you will see that someone has a peephole, and instead of the person on the inside looking out, this person is trying to look in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if that person was trying to peep in and you poked his eyeball out, that there would be no sin on your part for doing such. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that if he ever found his wife with someone, meaning if he ever found his wife committing zina, that he would hit them and strike them with his sword, غَيْرَ مُصْفَح. He would say that I would strike them with the sword, and the musfah is the sharp side. He said, I wouldn't even give him a warning, that immediately I would take my sword off and chop her head off and chop his head off. And then this statement reached the Prophet ﷺ, and they said that Sa'd radiallahu anhu has been saying this, and the Prophet ﷺ said, أَتَعَجَبُونَ مِنْ غِيرَةِ سَعَدْ. He said, are you amazed at the ghira, the jealousy of Sa'd radiallahu anhu? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Wallahi la ana aghyaru minhu. That by Allah, I have more jealousy than Sa'd radiallahu anhu. I have more ghira than Sa'd. Wallahu aghyaru minni. And Allah has more ghira over me. And from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ghira, annahu harrama al-fawahisha ma zahara minha wa ma batan. That he made the fawahish, this lewdness, this zina, and everything that leads to it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram, whether it be apparent in the streets or hidden in a person's home, on a person's computer screen, wherever that lewdness may be. The ulama of tafsir, and Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he speaks about this verse, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ. That in subhanAllah, here you'll see that the shaitan himself has wala and bara. His bara, or his disassociation from the kuffar, it comes here. It's when the shaitan says to the person, ukfur, be a disbeliever, فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ. And when the person does that and follows the shaitan, shaitan says, I have nothing to do with you. I have nothing to do with you. They mention the story of the monk that was very well known for his ibadah and very well known for his piety. And so there was a group of brothers that had to go on a long journey. So they said to this monk, they said, please allow our sister to live with you while we're gone. Because of his piety, they knew nothing would go wrong. And so they left the girl with him, and the shaitan came to this monk and he said that, look at this beautiful woman. And he looked at her, and indeed she was beautiful. And here you'll see that it all began with the first look. He looked and he used his eyes to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the shaitan kept encouraging him until he committed zina with his woman, with this girl. And then when she became pregnant, the shaitan came to the monk and he said that if the brothers come back and find that she's pregnant, that they will kill you. And it'll be a big problem, and it'll be the destruction of your career. So instead, kill her and bury her and tell them that she just died and they'll believe you. And so the monk listened to the shaitan and he did this. He murdered the girl and he buried her. And then when the brothers came back, he told them that she had died and they believed him. Shaitan then went to the brothers and he told them that she didn't die, but in fact, the monk committed zina and he murdered her. And the proof of this is that he buried her in such and such a place. They went and they found the girl buried there, and they found her dead, and they found that she had been pregnant from zina. And so they went to crucify the monk. And everybody came to kill the monk. And when he was up there to be crucified, that the shaitan came to him again. And he said, I caused all this, and I am capable of absolving you from all this, of saving you. And the monk said to him, what shall I do? And he said, all you need to do is do sajda to me, and I will help you in this situation. And so the monk did sajda to him, and after that, after his kufr, the shaitan turned his back, and he said, إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ. I have nothing to do with you. And they executed the monk.
كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ.
Ibn Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala, he would say, and this is from their zuhd and their taqwa, Ibn Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala would say that he would see a woman that was not halal for him in his dream. He would see her in his dream. And he said, وَأَعْرِفُ أَنَّهَا لَا تَحِلُّ لِي. And I know that she's not halal for me. فَأَصْرِفُ بَصَرِي. And so I would lower my gaze. In his dream he would do this. رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And indeed, you'll see that this, if you just look at the word that they have for these cosmetics, they say makeup. And you know in the English language, if someone says, I just made it up, what does he mean? He means that he's lying, that it's fake. I just made up. And this is what they wear on their faces, and they make up. And in fact, when you see the magazines, that's not actually the real woman that you're looking at, because of these computer programs, that they dissolve it. And in fact, when they manipulate the woman's looks like that, that this is the act of shaitan. As Mujahid, the great Mufassir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إِذَا أَقْبَلَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ جَلَسَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهَا. That if the woman comes and she approaches, the shaitan sits on her head, فَزَيَّنَهَا لِمَنْ يَنْظُرْ. And so he beautifies her and manifests her beauty for anyone who would look. وَإِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ جَلَسَ عَلَىٰ عَجَزِهَا فَزَيَّنَهَا لِمَنْ يَنْظُرْ. And when she walks away, the shaitan sits on her back and beautifies her for anyone that would look. The act of the shaitan. And you'll see the hadith that we all know, when the Prophet ﷺ, he said, يَا عَلِي لَا تُتْبِعِ النَّظْرَةُ النَّظْرَةُ. He said, يَا عَلِي, don't follow up an accidental look with another look. فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَ لَكَ الثَّانِيَةِ. Because the first look is for you and the second one is against you. Listen to the hadith. Who is the Prophet ﷺ? Who is he talking to? He's talking to one of the people that would soon be one of the Khulafa al-Rashideen. He's talking to his son Allah, who married his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he's telling Ali radiallahu anhu, don't look the second gaze. Don't take that second gaze. And if this is Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then what about us? And when someone thinks that they are safe from these looks and safe from the fitna, that this characteristic of feeling safe is a characteristic of the people of hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ. Do they feel safe from the makr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That do they feel safe from the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. That only the losers, only the people of hellfire are the ones that feel safe from the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see the story of the Bedouin. When he came and found and was walking out in the desert at night, and he found this woman, a very beautiful woman. So he tried to persuade her to commit zina with him. And so she said, وَيْلَكَ. She said, woe to you. أَمَا كَانَ لَكَ زَاجِرًا مِّنْ عَقْلٍ إِلَّا مْ يَكُنْ لَكَ زَاجِرًا مِّنْ إِلَّا مْ يَكُنْ لَكَ نَاهِمْ مِّنْ دِينٍ. That don't you have something to hold you back? If you had any brain, at least you may have some brain to hold you back from committing this haram, if you didn't have anything to hold you back from deen. And then the Bedouin said to her, he said, وَاللَّهِ مَا يَرَانَا إِلَّا الْكَوَاكِبِ. He said, by Allah, only the stars can see us tonight. And subhanAllah, he swears by Allah that only the stars can see them. And then she replied to him, فَأَيْنَ مُكَوْكِبُهَا. Then where is the one who made the stars? Where is the one who made the stars? Sufyan, rahimahullah ta'ala, he would say, عَلَيْكَ بِالْمُرَاقَبَةِ لِمَنْ لَا تَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ خَافِيَةً. He said, watch out. And many of us, when we're driving, we're looking left and right in the rearview mirrors, looking for who? For the cops, looking for those radars. But the muraqabah should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not on the streets, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. But the muraqabah should be everywhere that you be. For the one who nothing hidden can be hidden from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, عَلَيْكَ بِالرَّجَاءِ مِمَّا يَمْلِكُ الْوَفَاءِ. And you should have hope in the one who is capable and has the power to reward you. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَيْكَ بِالْحَذَرِ مِمَّا يَمْلِكُ الْعُقُوبَةِ. And be warned and have fear of the one who has the ability, the full capacity, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to punish him. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. I remember once when I was in Canada growing up and going to public school, that one of my non-Muslim teachers had asked me about a trip that I had taken to Egypt with my parents. And he said to me that you must have had culture shock. You must have had culture shock when you went there. And I said, Subhanallah, I felt no culture shock when I went there. And later on when I went to Medina, I felt no culture shock in Medina. All you feel like is if you're going home to your mother's lap. The culture shock, and I remember arriving there in Canada and coming in the airport and looking left to try to find a woman in hijab, looking right to try to find a woman in hijab. And when I realized that these were all kuffar and there was nobody wearing hijab and there was no one that said La ilaha illallah, a sadness overcame me. A culture shock. And I told him that this culture shock happens when you hit this non-Muslim society. And many of the brothers that may have come from overseas, and you ask yourself, how many times do we go into a 7-Eleven? Or we go into some store, and there are many stores that have this, and we see maybe pornography magazines there on the wall, and we don't even think twice about how haram this is. We don't, it doesn't even make us flinch from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of this open disobedience. And we become accustomed to it. Now imagine someone who just came from a Muslim country and he walks with you. As soon as he sees this, he'll say, A'udhu billah. And you won't feel anything. Because our hearts may have become closed to this and become hardened to the munkarat and the fawahish that have become so much of this American society. I wanted to speak today about an epidemic that's been happening amongst the Muslims. And that is this internet pornography. This internet pornography. Because in the past, when if you were here 15 years ago, pornography was in those 7-Eleven stores. You had to admit to the seller that you were, I don't want to say any words about that kind of person, but you had to admit what kind of a person you are to take that magazine. And you feared getting caught because it was printed material, that someone could look in your briefcase, someone could look and find you. And because of that, people had a zajir. At least from the material world, they didn't want people to know. And they were afraid that the human beings, they would be humiliated amongst the other humans if other humans knew that they do this. But when the internet came, and the Prophet ﷺ, and more than one of the ulama have said that this is one of those signs of the Day of Judgment, that the fawahish will become, will just spread everywhere. The fawahish, this lewdness and zina. And they have said that this internet has become the drive for this fawahish. And you'll see in the Wall Street Journal, they said, but now because